people there, and they'd play games. And so it was wonderful just to have them around. And their kids were younger then, and now they're all grown up and in the ministry. And so we thank God for their contribution to the kingdom of God and what they're doing over in Flin Flon. And so when Mark leaves here, he goes to his church. And so Mark has, as you know, Mark has an open door here, as long as he behaves himself. And so he comes here and ministers. So we thank God for family all over. And this is family. You're a family. We were at a wonderful Amanda and Blake's shower, I guess you call it, shower, yesterday. It was wonderful just to be there at the Evangel Church. And we are having, are they still in the service or are they gone home? I guess they're here somewhere. But we still have a few more sessions to plan the wedding. And Blake was here this morning telling you, giving you the announcements. It's kind of funny having the Bible college students do the announcements sometimes. Just we enjoy them. And so we appreciate them. You know, it's a nice flavor to have the youth, right? How many people enjoy the youth, young people giving, doing announcements and stuff? Yeah, man. So they need a chance to minister. And so, you know, everybody needs a chance to speak and say something for the Lord and give their skill. So we have a wonderful wedding coming up. If there's anyone here that has any reason why this couple should not be joined together. You know, I remember when I was in a church, they would always say that every Sunday somebody's going to get married. And so they would mention that every week. So I thought I'd mention it here because just in case you might think it's not. Maybe a man will say, don't marry her. I was going to marry her. Praise God. Anyway. Well, do you have your Bibles this morning? All right. We're going to go to our scriptures this morning. We've been talking about spiritual warfare last little while, but I want to deviate just a little bit, and I don't think it's not too far away. And it's called spiritual growth. I think we need to grow. You know, we have Linda doing the flowers. How many people enjoy seeing some of the flowers and the growth up the front? Linda is our dearest green thumb lady that's doing all that with my wife. Pastor Ken yesterday forgot in the name of Jesus, almost killed our plants. Anyway, we just happened to come by with the bulldogs in the bush, and my wife says in the back, she says, I gotta water the plants. I said, oh man, every time you come to the church, you're working here. And so she always finds something to do. And anyway, went to the front and we saw the plants going like this. And so she watered the plants. And so anyway, it was good. And somebody, you know, it's funny, you know, we do things, we forget things, and we blame everybody else. Anybody like that? Where's my keys? Who took my keys? It's kind of funny. I think my wife did something. I think she left the coffee pot on. We came in and it was like burnt. She says, oh, it's got to be those elders in action. So we blamed them for a little bit. And then we kind of figured out, we thought, you know, maybe it's Jerry. And so we had a little resentment with Jerry for a while. And that Jerry, anyway. And then we found out that it was Miss Anita that did it. She was the one that's responsible for burning stuff. And so, anyway, finally we blame people, right? It's nice to blame someone. That's the nature, you know. Like Adam, you know, he blamed Eve. And, well, Eve, you know, and he blamed the devil. And no one wants to take responsibility. So whatever money's missing in the kitty, and so we know who to blame, but it's not always him. I was telling you about a couple of weeks ago that my daughter, she said, Dad, I got to cancel my credit card. And somebody's been in my account stealing, you know. So I got a call. I've been on the phone for half an hour and a half on the phone and they haven't talked to me yet. So anyway, just to make a long story longer, anyway, she figured it out. She said she was at a Juno Awards. Yeah, she went to the Juno Awards. I can't say Juno Awards. Some words I can't say, but anyway. She went there and she bought some things. She bought some food. They got all these people selling stuff. And so she bought something. And someone was there from, I think, Mississauga or somewhere. And they had a stand there. So she bought something. So it said that somebody is buying stuff from that part of the city. She said, I've never went there. I didn't go there. But anyway, she discovered she was the one that's stealing her own money and buying food and everything. So anyway, but hey. Hey, so anyway, spiritual growth is what we're going to talk about this morning. And I entitled this, It's Time to Grow Up. Just in time, because I know Mikhail was going to be here this morning. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 is our scripture we want to read this morning. So it's time to grow up, spiritual growth. And our scripture verse is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody say, may grow up. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We see here in the scripture that if we're going to speak, we better speak in love and grow up in Jesus. And he's the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body of Christ. So spiritual growth is an interesting thing to talk about, and it's very much needed. Spiritual growth is an essential requirement for every believer. We all have to do something for our own personal development and our spiritual growth so that we can carry out the plans and purposes of God. So you cannot follow God correctly if you don't know your Bible. You'll just kind of just haphazard, kind of in the... You're in the will of God once, you're not in the will of God. You don't know where to go. You don't know how to make a plan. You don't know where to get a job. You don't know how to make a plan to what church you should go to. You don't know who to marry. Those are all important things in spiritual growth. And they're very important things to do. So God wants us to know how to make decisions, how to properly conduct ourselves in church. If someone gets you angry in church, how not to have resentments and how to release resentments and how not to hinder your own prayers. The Bible says that you can hinder your own prayers if you're resentful. God, God's not going to be mad at you or anything. It's just that you're hindering yourself when you hold things against people. And so anger, outbursts of anger, and different things, we need to learn how to handle ourselves, our emotions. So it's essential for us to do something with our spirituality, our own development, so that we can carry out God's plans for our own personal lives and those that are important to us. Your being in the will of God, your spiritual growth really, really is important to the people around you. It's important to your family. It's important to your leadership. It's important where you work, that you grow and develop. And so that we can be in the plan of God, we can work the purposes of God. So it's time that we get serious about our inner growth, our spiritual growth, and be effective members of the body of Christ. Wherever we are, we could be people who with great efficiency in doing what God wants us to do. Spiritual growth, I'll repeat this again, is not something that's automatic just because you've been a Christian for a long time. So spiritual growth is something that you have the purpose to do. It's like saying, I understand about getting in shape. I read all kinds of books. And I know about nutrition. I know various exercises. I know different things that come with developing my physical physique. But it's not going to happen just because you know something, just because you listen to spiritual growth, seminar, or you watch online, you watch something. It's not going to happen because of just that. You can tell sometimes spiritual growth is when you're in church, and this is why it's so important to be in church, because this is where it happens. And so your mistakes, it's much more easier to accomplish, to overcome here when you're with a body of believers who love you and appreciate you and can put up with you. The Bible says that we should put up with one another and give each other grace to fail, so that when we have a hard time, you know, people, we go through different times, challenges, and sometimes we might not be the best people to be with. And so sometimes we understand that, and we give each other license a little bit more than another time, so that we can help someone along the way. So it's not, spiritual growth is not something automatic. So we need to take steps forward for our own spirituality and determine, you know, ask yourself, where are we at on the scale? We should look at our at the development of what is a mature spiritual person. What does he look like, and what does he look like, she look like? How can I calculate some of the characteristics and maybe emulate some of those so that I could become like that? And ultimately, we should all, the aim of spiritual growth is to be like Jesus, to be just like him. So the question remains here, and I guess for all of us this morning, is what is spiritual growth? Jesus, the Bible says that we may grow up in him in all things. Ephesians 4:15. Spiritual growth really is a training and development of the human spirit. And so that includes your mind, your soul, learning how to correct your thinking, learning how to harness your emotions, learning how to, you know, curb your appetites that might take over your body, hijack your body, and make you want to do stuff. And we get deceived from our own bodies. Your body can deceive you that you can't do certain things. But your spirit, like I'm saying, like say for instance, people have a challenge with eating, overeating. There could be other essential things that are wrong, medically speaking, with that, and we need to correct that and find out what the doctor says about it and talk to a good nutritionist or something like that. But also there's some other things, spiritual things, that can cause problems. And so we could correct some of those as well. It's not just natural. We're just not mental and physical people. We're also spiritual people. And so we need to correct some things there. So spiritual growth is the training and development of the human spirit, or our heart, our inner man. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, I'm going to read the Amplified Bible. Let's go in the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. But it says, but have nothing to do with irreverent folklore or silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purposes of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Well, we want to be spiritually fit, physically fit. Well, for physical training is of some value. How many people know that it's good to exercise, but not too much? You don't want to be all tuckered out. You can't have time for anybody. So, but godliness, you know, godliness means living for God as well. Living for God, living for God. Spiritual training is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds a promise for the present life and the life to come. No, so spirituality is important because it's beneficial for you right now. But also, when you leave here, it's going to be beneficial when you arrive in heaven. So, being spiritually fit is important to God, apparently. Paul's talking about, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in writing to us and telling us it's important. Physical exercise, physical training is important, but spiritual training is also very important because it affects us here and later. So, how many people know that you take with you to heaven, you know, some stuff that God has told you to do? It comes with you, whatever you've done, spiritually speaking, you carry that to heaven. It's important. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, I want to read the King James Version. You know, sometimes you can drift off your spirituality and not know it even, because we get too busy in life that we forget, we neglect our spirituality, just like anything else. And so it says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So that if we, you know, just hear things and we just neglect to not follow what we hear and put into practice, that we can really drift away from our spirituality, our spiritual growth. We can drift away from the things we heard. It's easy to do that, and that's why it's important to come to church. And it's important to work together in church. If you're working in a project, I noticed in the church there's different ones doing different projects. And then while you're working on the projects, you're fellowshipping with people. I noticed we were here Saturday, was it? Or Friday? Or we were here Thursday. See how many days go by so fast? And we were having different meetings. I had different meetings here myself personally for different things. I came here, it was like, you know, wow, is everybody here? And people in the yard, you know, they're mowing and trucks and people going around, hoses going, water splashing everywhere, brooms moving, brushes. It was cleanup day here. And so I noticed that everybody's having fun. Didn't look like they were just, you know, getting mad at anything. They're just having a great time. I noticed that everybody was enjoying. Joe, you enjoyed yourself? Yeah, okay. So Joe was there, and he's, you know, everybody was working, doing something. But in that time, we were working and doing things, but there was fellowship going. There was sharing the Bible together. We're singing songs, joking, and a great fellowship. And then you do other projects, you know, and when you're working with people doing projects, you find that you're sharing that, you know, I remember people used to cry for, we need fellowship time, we need fellowship. Well, join the church and become part of the church, the inner workings of the church, and you won't cry for fellowship. There'll be a lot of fellowship. You know, and lots of prayer time, then you pray with people, and so that's part of the thing about growing. So we must give heed, we must pay attention to our own spirituality, because no one else is going to watch out for you. So you have to take earnest heed. Like, earnest heed means, you know, hey, you got to be very careful of your spiritual growth. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, New Living Translation says this: we must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you receive when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. He's talking about, again, not drifting away here, just like he was talking to the Hebrews about not drifting away from the things they heard. So, in Psalm 37, 31, and the Amplified says, the law of God is in his heart, not one of his steps will slip. So when we plant God's word in our heart, and we're stable and we're conscientious of the fact of different things that we need to do, then it's very hard to slip. And if you do slip, Psalm 37 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted his way. Although he falls or makes a wrong turn, God won't let him fall and be so discouraged. So if you're walking with God and you do get into some trouble, God will lift you up and put you back on. You know, some say it's hard to get out of the will of God at any time. You got to actually work to get out of the will of God. But you got to work really hard, because God makes sure he brings somebody there for you to tell you, hey, you know, that's not good. You know, and so I know that sometimes people come to my attention, they'll send me a message and they'll say, here's what I'm doing. And I don't always like to correct people. I just like them to correct themselves, and because they don't always hear you. People don't always hear you. So don't always be quick to give your advice, because people don't always take it. And so you got to let people make their own decisions. So spiritual growth is the training and development of the born-again human spirit, or the inner man, or the inner self. After one comes to Jesus, there's a necessity of feeding and adopting the way of life that's endorsed for us in the scriptures. So The spiritual growth of a person depends on the individual's ability to read and meditate and act on the Word of God, all the truths that are contained, so that they can discover for themselves the Word and how important it is in their own lives. Time spent in church, time spent in the kingdom of God itself, does not equate spiritual growth. You could be, a Christian in here for 20 years, and if you haven't really acted on the Word, you could still be a carnal believer. You could still be a baby Christian. And so, as someone who can walk in church and start, just getting right at it right away, maybe they had discipline before they came here, and you can have discipline. Some people who just come in, they think everything's automatic. I just show up and poof, I'll know how to do this and that. But it takes time to develop. And so, so it doesn't depend on just being around. So let's see here. It says, we should not neglect our own spirituality, our inner man, our inner person. We all heard about the development of a man's intellect or brain or mind through, academic training or education or whatever you're doing, college, university, and other things where you study. That's important. And furthermore, we all understand the necessity of training our physical bodies through exercising and different things like that. Maybe we get a trainer or whatever to help us. But the majority of time, we've neglected our spirit. Yes, we've read books, we've listened and studied on different things and took notes, and we've gone to exercising and did things there, but we've really neglected in the church our spiritual selves, because we kind of thought it's good. This is automatic. It'll happen if I just attend church. And so we need to educate our inner nature, feed our spirit. When one fails to grow up spiritually, there's not only hardships in life, but failure to follow God's perfect plan for their own lives. So we make it harder on ourselves, because if God says to do certain things and we don't do it, then we find it hard, we should have listened in the first place. If your dad told you don't do that, if your mom told you don't do that, and I was told that God puts people in our lives to help us. The first people that God put in our lives is our parents. And they're to teach us. And maybe we didn't have parents who were Christian, but we still learned from them. It doesn't matter if they weren't Christian. We still learned from them. We learned from our grandparents. We learned from our family members. We learned from our siblings. We watched them make mistakes and said, I'm not doing that. Look at it. We need it. So, so there's hardships. If you don't grow up, you'll have hardships that maybe God didn't want you to have, and then you veer off and you didn't find the will of God. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, when we renew our minds, it's easier for us to make determinations of what God's will is. Because that word is there, we can make wise choices. So we need to, again, look at the understanding. Some people have strange ideas about spiritual growth. I know I had a lot of funny ideas of spiritual growth when I came to church and how to develop our inward self. God, himself defined what is spiritual growth. So in defining it, as we mentioned, it's development of our training of our spirits. Through feeding on the Word, meditating on the Word. Now, you could read the Bible. You could read the Bible and have 15 minutes every night or every morning. And you read the Bible, really quickly, or read chapters very quickly. You could do that for various reasons, but don't do that all the time. Just to accumulate information and you figure out what's in there. You read for, what do you call that when you read fast? You just kind of skim over different things. And you read fast just to figure out what's in there, then you can go over it again to study where you want to read and meditate on it. I find the best thing for myself, and I've heard it before, and I didn't learn that till Because I just say, oh, that's them. They meditated. They're spiritual. They need to meditate. What is meditating? I never really thought about it that much. But as I got older and as a Christian, I found out how important it is to meditate the Word. To feed on the Word. Over in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua to meditate his Word day and night so that he'd be successful in the affairs of life. And he said, meditate. That word meditate gives us a word picture of a cow chewing its cud. And you all know what a cow chewing its cud is all about. It chews. You know, I heard a cow has three stomachs. And I don't know, they use them. I like to have three stomachs. Yeah. And so, you know, he's just chewing the cud and, you know, chews and it goes on and he goes on and chews again. And he chews on it and chews on it and goes away, come back again and chews on it again. So this is the God. This is God's word. This is God's method of telling you, continue to feed on the word of God. In an area particularly where you need training. You know, Brother Higgins said, if a guy is dying in bed and he's sick and he's only got hours, weeks or days or months to live, thank God if he had months, he can do something. Someone who's got hours, he needs a miracle, the mercy of God. So if someone is in bed, sick, and he needs to learn about healing, he doesn't need to be studying on the last days. You know what I'm saying? You know, what do you call that fancy word we have at college? Agriculture? Eschatology, that's a nice word. That's study about the last days. So he doesn't need to be studying on the last days. He needs to get on the word and meditate the word on healing. Get it into his spirit. You know, you get into a place when you're branded on your spirit, it becomes so real to you that no matter what happens around you, I believe. That's because you continually meditate the word. Meditate the word. Read the word. That's why skimming doesn't do that. Skimming the word. And some people eat fast. Some people eat slow. There's some people in here I eat with. They eat really slow. And I'm already done. Ready to run. And they're just... But they eat slow. I should do that. Pastor Ken should definitely do that. Anyway, in spiritual growth, a person is able to follow the will of God or the plan of God without compromising important truths or principles that he's discovered in the Word of God. So spiritual growth, again, is a training of the human spirit, the born-again human spirit. When you feed the Word of God, your spirit overrides your mind and your body. It takes the throne of decision. Whereas before, if your spirit is weak and hasn't really meditated the Word of God, your body takes over when making decisions because I'm too hungry, I'm too tired. I want it now. Let's go make the decision. Let's have fun, whatever. And your spirit, if your spirit is fed the Word of God, you're strong and you know what's right. You have enlightenment and you make the decisions. So, ta-da, ta-da. So we want to find out, how do we find out if we need spiritual growth? And I remember being in class at Rhema and our pastor, our teacher would give us all these things, you know, about how do we know we need spiritual growth? And it was so wonderful to understand and have guidance. So here's some questions for you. And this is something that you can ask yourself. We can see very well in the scriptures say to carefully study the Word of God. We can closely examine the Word and the scriptures and see the necessity of the importance of spiritual growth. So here's an evaluation question. If you got a pencil, or if you want to go back to this teaching. You can listen to this message online on our website, or you can go back and watch it on YouTube, or go directly to our website and watch it all over again. And you can do that. So make sure you, if you want to do it, if you miss Sunday, you can do that as well. First question. Why are you here? No. So first, the first question is this. How often do you read your Bible? Always? Sometimes? Never? Only in the time of crisis? So that's something that you have to personally ask yourself. Some people just go and when they get into trouble, they have a crisis, then they look for their Bible. Where's my Bible? Have you seen my Bible? And, you might be sitting here right now and say, that's really like, Pastor Roma, that's really foreign to me. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, there's going to come a day, there'll become a day, Joe, yourself, and other people listening here, any kid, boy, girl, there's come a day you're going to remember this, that what I say is important here, that how important it is to study your Bible. There's things that's going to come up that you're going to need God's wisdom what to do. And it might not be now. You might not be in a crisis now, but you're preparing right now so that sometime in the future when you have a financial, marriage problem, children problem, addiction problem, fear problem, anxiety issue, emotional problems, a work problem, health problem, you're going to say, what did Pastor say about that? Where's that scripture? And so somewhere along the line, right now you're studying for your future. You're preparing ahead. That's what Jesus said in the 7th chapter. The man who studies the Bible and practices, put it into operation, is a man that when the storms of life hits him, he will stand strong no matter what happens. And he says, you could have two people in the same room, listen to the same word, same pastor, same time. One will go down, the other guy is standing up after the storm. Why? Because someone not only heard the message, but put into operation in their lives. So, the question is, again, how often do I read my Bible? God told Joshua to meditate the word day and night. Find ways, creative ways to listen to the Bible. There's days I go on, all I do is listen in my car, is tapes on whatever if it's a healing, I'm listening to healing day and night in there. And I'll carry something, I'll have a little thing, I plug it to my phone over here, and I'll be listening to it, healing. If I need issues with mental health and emotional problems, I'll plug that in and get a series and listen to all the way through Keith Moore, maybe 16 tapes or whatever. I'll listen to the one that talks to me the most. The 8th one mentions, Brother Higgins says, when you have a problem with something, don't just go and read all the stuff, the 16 messages. Find the one that talks to you the most and listen to that over and over. Find the book that speaks to you the most and read that over and over again. And let it sink into your spirit. The second question, what kind of time do I devote to spiritual activity like helping and serving others, going to church, praying for others, compared to something that you do for your physical or social things that you do? And I remember doing the balance of spiritual exercise. We did this in leadership, the balance of spirituality, a balance of our life. And we had this little thing that we exercise, we do. And we say, okay, how much time do we spend in a day, in a week? We have a little kind of tool that we use to figure out how much time do I spend in spiritual things? How much do I spend on natural things, social things, friends, whatever? And it comes out with these numbers. And so if you want to balance yourself out, you got to figure this out yourself. Because sometimes we spend too much time in entertainment and fun stuff, right? We all like to do that. I would like to just have that fun time we had yesterday, just eating. I was just trying every dessert I could find. I said, oh, I don't like this one. I bought that bunch of. I'd have a pile of stuff there. So I know, I remember we used to go and have chicken after every Wednesday service for years until everybody started to, you know, every Wednesday night we'd just have a chicken. I mean, I joke about it, I preach about it, and everybody just said, this has got okay about eating chicken. Then everybody got, oh, they got big after. Their ministry started to bust out. I was getting to have a large ministry. Anyway. So, third question. How often do I attend corporate gatherings like special conferences, workshops, weekly church activities that the church puts on? And is that consistent or is it a hit and miss thing? Do we have a progression of on my calendar, every third month I'm doing this, every fourth month I'm doing this? Now this is what I did for the last 20 years, except for COVID season, we couldn't travel. So every COVID season, I take two to three times of my time, and I travel to Tulsa to spend nothing but just listen to the word three times a day, three services a day, morning, afternoon, at nighttime. And you need to do that, Pastor Dave, if you want to hang around here. So, right? Right, Miss Cindy? Miss Anita? I know how important it is for me to stay in shape spiritually. I got to have somebody feed me. I got to take my own time, my own money, my own time. I got to go to those meetings. You think I always want to sit there 16? My mind is going faster than my word. Somebody said, oh, I heard you speak in tongues. No, I wasn't speaking in tongues. No, yeah, sometimes I was speaking in tongues. But anyway, you gotta invest time. Do I like every speaker that comes on? No, but they got a message from me. God sent me there. God put you here at Faith City Church so that you can gain something, right? So if I want to stay, Brother Hagin used to say, they say, oh, I'm a faith. We're a faith church. But he said, I travel everywhere, and a lot of those churches are not faith churches, right? They say they sing about it. They say it. But they're very. When you examine them closely, they're not faith people at all. They're just like, you know, things get hard. We're gonna jump off right here. But you got to keep going. So people need you to be spiritual. You got to invest the time. Not just a hit and miss. You gotta put it in your calendar. Bang, there it is. A conference coming, that's where I go. Not just any conference, something that really ministers to you. Don't just go all over town. Oh, there's a conference. Oh, what's happening here? You know what I'm saying? You got a purpose. Don't just go to any conference. There's conferences that's happened in this city. I wouldn't even go. Wouldn't even bother going. I'd rather watch something online that really ministers to me. Like, I don't care if there's 20 hours of singing. What's the most important thing? I remember Brother Hagin, he was doing healing school. God told him to do healing school, so he did healing school. And so they spent like 45 minutes worshiping. They got all kinds of singers over there. They sang songs and you know, by the time the song singers, everybody's all tired. They can't listen anymore. And so he's walking over from his office to the healing center, and the Spirit of God says to him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to teach healing school." The Lord said to him again, "So where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to go to teach healing school. You told me to teach healing school." He said, "Yeah, but I didn't tell you to sing for 45 minutes. What's the main thing? He said, the main thing is teaching the word. You sing a couple of songs just to get people in. That's what we do here. We sing about four songs that we spend no more than 20 minutes worshiping here. Now, we could do it. We used to do it before. We used to sing like 45, 50 minutes. Everybody's all tired out. We're human. Even if you did get all blessed, you're still tired out. So I learned from men of God and pastors that's been ahead of me. They said, okay, you just get them enough. You know, the Lord told them, you just get enough, get them to a place where they just get in and then get the word into them. Sing maybe no more than four songs. Like some people's four songs last a half an hour each. But, you know, if it goes too long, we stop it. We say, okay, we're going to stop you. We just send somebody up, stop the whole thing. You don't just sing songs as a sing song. Just wait for sister so-and-so, let her get in. No, and you need to learn to follow us. When we're in, you're in. You get what I'm talking about? And so I know that it doesn't matter, like if Lisa's singing here, she's doing her best, and some people are just cutting their nails. Looking at the ceiling. Well, that's not her fault if they're not in. You need to jump right in. So spiritual things are learned, and we have to figure this out. So how often do we attend corporate gatherings? So number four, are we on four? Do we have spiritual goals, like for our spiritual goals for our finances? Say, for instance, somebody's got a spiritual goal is, okay, so I'm going to start sowing seed to this ministry or that ministry, and I'm believing God for this. I think last year when we started building different things, we said, okay, we're going to give money. So we started giving money out. We give $5,000 here, $5,000 there, $5,000 there, $5,000 there, because we wanted to sow seed to other churches that were struggling, that's like us, but maybe smaller. They're just starting out, so we start sowing seed to them. And that's big for us. I have never had any church give me $5,000 in this church, in this city, or other people. Like I was telling our people the other day, I said, it's funny why a lot of these faith people, they say they're faith people, they never come up north, summer or winter. I wonder why they never get moved to go to north. So I have a hard time with that. Okay? So, you know, they say, you come on, you know, come on, come and see us. Okay, so your spiritual goals in your finances, in your training of your mind, your family, and personal goals, do you have spiritual plans for that? How are you going to do that? How are you going to get to your spiritual goal in your family? How are you going to get spiritual goals for developing your mind? So start thinking right. Number five, do you have a mentor? How does she or he help you? What areas are you working on right now? And I thank God I had a good mentor, my wife and I, and we would, every month, we would lay a plan that was very specific about whatever you're doing. What are you reading right now? What kind of books are you reading? Why are you reading those books? Everything, man. Because we were trained. How am I treating my wife? How is she treating me? How is my sexuality? How is my sex life? Everything. How were you spending your money? Why are you spending money there? And we had to discipline ourselves. And after all those years, we disciplined ourselves. And I'm glad that I had training like that. It's quiet, you talk about sex in here. I'm serious. I'm very serious. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's a taboo. No, you need to talk about it in church. Right. Right. Bible talks a lot about it in church. Right. And we hide it. We hide things because you're not supposed to hear it. We're not a Victorian era. We're church people. God talks about it in His Bible. And that's why we have so many pastors over the years have trouble with this area, with pornography. And statistically, I've watched, you know, read different things with different things. You know, I don't know how they find this out. How much time people have, they have problems in this area. And people have lost ministries that have been 20, 30 years in ministry and end up in the junk heap because of their, in that area. They haven't really talked to anybody. You know, if you're honest, there's nothing to hide. You don't feel anxious. I don't care if my wife looks at my Facebook and my, well, maybe sometime I'll look at you know, let me see your phone and what you're doing in your phone. Let me see your, come to your house. Let me check your emails. Let me see what's going on in there. Where you're spending all your time and how much time, you know, your phone tells you how much time you're spending, how many hours you've been spending on your phone. I've been trying to get up there higher. So you know, all of us think, oh, that's for spiritual purposes. You've been watching Netflix for 17 hours a week. So am I speaking to you? I'm talking about spirituality. Yeah, you know? So this is important. You got to ask questions. So when we have premarital discussion, we talk about everything. We have 6 rigorous years. We spend maybe 12 weeks instead of 6 for some people. Some people 17 weeks on one topic. We talk about different things, you know, about spiritual compatibility. If you're going to marry somebody, you better be spiritually compatible with that person, right? You have to learn how to spend money. You gotta be in agreement how you spend money, where you spend money. If you're going to marry somebody that doesn't tithe or hates tithing, doesn't give money to church, you're going to have a hard time in your marriage. How much time do you spend church? And how, you know, if you're going to church, how much time do you work in church? How much time do you do there? So those are important things to do. That puts a lot of pressure on your home when you're not spiritually compatible. I better get back to this teaching here because it's a hard thing. So, what number are we? We're going to be on 6? What areas would you like to develop on spiritual matters? Do you have a list or have anything written down that says, here's what I want to do. I want to develop in this area here. I want to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. When I'm making decisions, I want to learn about the witness of the Spirit. I want to know if I can follow, the Bible says, follow that peace. And how do I find that peace? If I make a decision, I remember Brother Higgins said something that really touched me and changed me forever in this area. He said, when I'm praying, I pray, and I always follow the inward spirit, the inward man, the inward leading. It's called the witness. Your spirit has witness, and also the spirit witnesses you. Your spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit knows, and it comes together and makes an amen. The Spirit of God, your conscience, everybody say conscience. Your conscience is a voice of your spirit. That's the voice of your spirit, and you got to develop that consciousness in the Word of God when you're making decisions. And so the Holy Spirit, you'll make that decision, and the Holy Spirit will come on top of that and says, yeah, you're doing the right thing. So here's the thing sometimes. You're making decisions, you're praying, and you're making decisions. You're looking for that peace always. If there's no confusion, no fear, then hey, you're clear. So you go ahead and do it. So Brother Higgins usually said, if I don't get any kind of leading, any kind of spiritual, any kind of witness on the inside of it, what do I do? He said, I just go ahead and make the best decision I know with the Word of God that I know. I just go right ahead. God doesn't say anything. I just keep going ahead, and I keep going. Why? He said, I take just as much as what God doesn't say as by what He says. If I make it a decision and God doesn't check me, then I keep going. And I keep going. He said, oh, yeah, this feels decision, this feels good. I know my mind is giving me a hard time about it, but my spirit on the inside of me says, yeah, it's good. Because your mind is educated by other things. And you got to follow your spirit. That's why Proverbs chapter, I think it's chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart is not your head, and your head is not your heart. So you're trusting the inward man. Trust in the Lord You can't trust God without knowing His Word. You can't trust God without knowing His Word. Trust goes with the Word. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is the Word. The word trust means to rely on, to depend on. You know, so we have to trust and lean on the Word. Lean on the Word of God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, that's every area of your life, in all your ways, acknowledge God, acknowledge the Word, and He will direct your path. He promises every person that He'll lead. Every one of us. He promises everybody, I'm leading you. In fact, God has been leading you, and some of you don't even know, He's been leading you for a long, long time. In fact, the Bible says that God led you to a place where you can receive Jesus. And some of us didn't know we were being led. That time I was listening to Billy Graham on television. I wasn't smart enough to find Billy Graham and say, I'm going to listen to Billy Graham and tonight I'm going to get born again. I never planned it. God led me to listen to Billy Graham and I got born again in my apartment by myself. But I heard it before. I heard it since I was a kid about Jesus. I heard that you can be born again. I heard 316 for years and never responded to it. That's why you need to keep telling people to come to church. Even if they're not saved, just keep bringing them to church. And one of these days, they're born again. Here's some more questions. You want some more? How much time you got? Just 3 minutes after 12. Okay, here's a good one. Number 7. Do you have a hard time forgiving people or forgiving yourself? That's a spiritual development. Can you just say, oh yeah, I know, they hurt me, but listen, I can live with it. God's my helper, He's my healer, I'm going on. Instead of saying, I'm going to get that person, next time they ask you for something, I'm going to just get them. You know what I would do? I would say, I don't know what I would say. I just got the, so, you know, if someone that disturbs you and hurts you, and sometimes our natural says, you know, you hurt me, I hurt you. Pastor Ken said that last time. You punch me, I punch you. So you want to hit back, right? And you know, here's the thing you do, Pastor Ken. Somebody hurts you and says something bad about you, I would say something nice to them. That's the right thing to do, right? And somebody says, the devil says, don't ever give them anything. Say, no, I'm going to give them double. That hurts you mentally, doesn't it? But spiritually, it breaks something. It breaks the devil's power over your life. The devil says, you know, I wouldn't give them nothing. I wouldn't give them anything. No, double, you see it again, I'm going to give them double. That's what Brother Hagin used to do. And you know he died a millionaire. So anyway, do you spend a lot of time trying to recover from setbacks? So sometimes, you know, if you're not spiritually developed, some people get injured in church. They're working with people, somebody says something, and they get really hurt, thin skin. And they don't recognize that these guys haven't grown in that area, so they don't have the ability to think like that. Not everybody is as developed as you are, or fortunate as you are. Some people never maybe develop in a certain area, so we have to give them license or give them a little bit of grace. The Bible says, let's put up with everybody. Ephesians says, you know, forgive people as Christ has forgiven us. And so we take that time to put up. It says put up with one another. Here's another one. How would you say your love walk is compared to last year or the year before? You know, you don't always love people. Love doesn't always feel good, right? Love doesn't always, I love everybody. I'm just feeling so lovely. Right? So love requires sometimes You're gonna do good to people who don't do good to you. I know me and my wife have been practicing for quite a while, and I get mad at her, she gets mad at me. I was telling the kids, Joe, you shut your ears. You know, here's what I'm saying. You know, people have problems in their marriage and they withhold sex from each other. It's like, you're not going to have any treats tonight. Right? So I, in my marriage counseling, I tell people, listen, this is something, it's all in here. Don't do that. The Bible says, your body doesn't belong to yourself. It belongs to your husband or wife as well. Pastor Ken? Yeah, everybody, me, everybody. We think about it. This is something we talk about. And there's a lot of marriages that have problems with that. They said, okay, man, this and that. I know it's been 7 weeks. You're still not getting none. And then the guy falls into problems because someone paid attention to them. Now they're having problems over here. And Brother Higgins said to this one guy, this one woman, he says, my husband's been doing this. And this woman's been withholding from him for many, many years. And he said, it's you're the problem. The Bible says right there, so that Satan doesn't tempt you. You're only supposed to do it for a short time. For spiritual reasons, like fasting and giving yourself to prayer. And if you can't withhold yourself, you need to find somebody to marry. For that reason. I'm trying not to look at single people. I'm trying to find somebody who's married to talk about someone. Where's our music team? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. I think we've done enough. Praise God. Spiritual growth is so important. Hallelujah. Isn't it right? Those are just questions. Now we're going to talk about some other things about how to develop in your spiritual life. What determines someone who's spiritual? Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we give you praise and we thank you for your goodness this day. We so appreciate your Holy Spirit that's here in us, his preciousness, his peace that's in here with us. We thank you for all the good things that you've done in our lives. We give you praise, Jesus. Fulfilling all your promises. I read in the scriptures last night, and it says in there that not one promise failed or wasn't fulfilled that you spoke to Moses. Not one promise failed. You didn't fail to fulfill. You said to Solomon, not one promise was unfulfilled when you spoke to Moses. Not one promise in later life, in Joshua's life, that he said, not one of those promises failed. So we want to thank you that your word endures forever, from generation to generation. Those that love you and those that serve you, you said that you would always honor your word. You said, them that honor me, I'll honor them. And so, Father, today we yield our spirit. We pray the prayer of consecration and dedication corporately today. We say, God, we belong to you. You're our very own Father. We're your very own children. You're leading and guiding every one of us. And so, yeah, we might have a bumpy road once in a while, but you never leave us, never forsake us. You're always there. When things seem like there's no change and nothing's happening, you're working on our situation because we've given up to you. Thank you, Lord God. And so, Father, we give you our spirit, our soul, our body to follow you. And we renew our commitment to you, Lord, that when we first became born again, we said, Lord, have my life. Have everything about my life. Whatever you want to do. You got all my talents, my gifts, my money, my stuff, and everything else. Have everything. And some of us have grown older in life, and then we say, oh, no, we're going to put on the brakes here. We can't do this. We can't do that. No, Father, we renew our commitment. Before we had nothing. Now we have something. Now we have some spiritualities. Now we have some strength. That everything comes from you. Even our very breath that we have comes from you. There's nothing that we give you that you haven't given to us. Everything belongs to you, you said in Psalm 50. Everything belongs to you. Everything in the world belongs to you. This whole world actually belongs to you. We know that's who's running it right now. But one day, it'll be brought back into the right place. And so, Father, thank you. We confess Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord. We confess Him as our healer, our protector. We confess Him as our great supplier. We confess Him as our righteousness, our sanctifier, our peace. We sanctify ourselves unto you. We say, God, we belong to you. And we thank you that our spiritual growth is continuing. It's growing. We're not taking it back. We give you praise for all the healing that's done here this morning. You said that you'd heal people in this room. So I want to thank you in advance, and I confirm the healing has been confirmed in the name of Jesus. The leading of the Lord, the message of the gospel, you said you'd speak to children, you speak to adults, young adults, you speak to seniors, you speak to middle-aged people, you speak to everybody that same word and give everyone direction because you're Jehovah Rohi, our great shepherd, our guide. You're protecting us to avoid tragic situations in our lives. And we pray as a family, we pray for our loved ones out there that are out there out of fellowship. And because you love us, you said when we pray, you said even when a righteous man prays, he'll save a sinner. He'll save someone that is out there not doing your will, your plan, your purposes. Thank you. We bless all the family that is watching online. We thank you for every one of them. And all our partners and friends at Spirit of Life Television, we thank you for multiplying their giving and multiplying everyone's giving this morning as they gave some of them sacrificially. You said they will return, you will return unto them multiplication, a blessing financially. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And devil, get your hands off all the families. Get your hands off their homes. Get your hands off their children. Get your hands off their work. Get your hands off their finances. And angels of God, go forth and cause blessings, material blessings, financial blessings, physical health blessings, direction. In every way, we release angels. Go forth and cause it to happen in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Let's go ahead and lift up our hands and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah.